Permission, Zelig, was that not a beautiful email that somebody sent to me?
Oh my, that was heart-rending.
I said last week in the Parsha share a story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter.
Yeah, I heard it. It was amazing.
Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, for the benefit of those who didn't hear it, somebody once followed him to see what does he do on Erev Yom Kippur, how does he prepare in those last hours? And he saw he took a hammer from the kitchen. He went to the local shul and he banged in the nails of the chairs that the screws had come out so that the chairs would be more comfortable for people. Benodim Chaveira, he went to the Ezra's Noshim afterwards. He did the same. They followed him. He did that in the same in nine shuls. That was his preparation for.
Having freezes.
Sorry?
You're having freezes.
I was freezing?
You were, yes.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
I am freezing actually. I've got my
It's
hot water
coming.
bottle over here. It's
And so is Moshe
you're also
Zelig.
freezing.
Moshe Zelig froze also.
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, so I've got my hot water bottle. So I am actually freezing. I'll call upon him. So that's what I said in the shir, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that was his legacy. He put Ben Adam Lechaveri back on the map. So somebody sent me the most moving email. Somebody who wasn't even at the shir, he I think apparently listens to the recordings. And he says he's been doing this every year. He goes to his shul or other shuls to bang in a few nails and set the air conditioners and the timing and just to make it more comfortable for people. And he always felt a bit second class. He writes that he's a Baal Tshuva. He always feels second class, even on a regular day, and people are very condescending and people tell him all wonderful things, and it's very a big put down. He said when he heard this story about Mr. Salanta, he was in tears. He was crying. He said, I should tell this to every gabbai in the world. It's a tremendous chus to be an ish tzibur.
You know, I actually saw Rav Shapira from Esh Kodesh. He arranges the chairs all the time.
Very
Cleans up, he sweeps up after.
Yeshua ben Nun became the leader of Klal Yisrael, say Chazal, because he tidied up the Beis HaMedrash. In Kelm Yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken, it was only the top Bochurim from the highest shir who were allowed to clean up the Beis HaMedrash. The junior Bochurim were not allowed. It was only the older Bochurim who were allowed to tidy up.
I heard there was another yeshiva where only the finest bachrim were allowed to wait on the tables in the dining hall.
That's the right
Okay, back to our subject. Erev Rosh Chodesh today.
Yes,
Mishenichnas
indeed.
Hadar Mar. We are seeing tonight Be'ezus Hashem a tkufa of Nisim and Yeshuas. How long does this tkufa last for? At least 2 months, says Rashi. Very famous Rashi. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. So Rashi there says Marbim Besimcha because of the Nisim of Purim and Pesach. Rashi adds Pesach. So you see in Rashi, the Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha refers not only to Adar, but also to Nisan. We know the famous Gemara. It says if somebody has a Din Torah, if somebody has a court case with a Goy, the best time to do that is now. Because there's extra special mazel, and some of the poskim point out that according to Rashi, who said that this is a reference to Purim and Pesach, so too you should arrange this court case any time in either Adar or Nisan. So this is a special time of Yeshua. We all need Yeshuas, every single person without fail. So we should be Zeicha. This is also an extra special time to daven, which we've spoken about on other occasions, not for now, but. Adar is all about tefillah. The whole Amalek was brought down in the very first battle against Amalek. When Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hands, it was through tefillah. At the time of the Purim story, Esther Hamalka arranged tefillah. Tefillah brings the Yeshuas, and therefore, exactly in Chodesh Adar that we can be Zeicha to extra special Yeshuas. As we know, Adar, the mazel of Adar is Dogim. Fish. What's special about fish? Besides what we spoke about last night, Ramesh Zelig, but fish is also, as it were, a supernatural existence. Human beings cannot survive underwater, and dogim can. And that, of course, fits in so well that the Chodesh Adar is indeed supernatural. Supernatural. V'na poichu, the whole Chodesh Adar is all about v'na poichu. Situations that could look very bleak, whether in Parnassa or whatever it may be, could be turned around. Mirega lerega. Yeshua's Hashem keheref ayin. When it came to Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef HaTzadik was languishing in jail for over a decade. Finally, his time came, and the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Vayiritzeu min haboyer. And he was rushed out of the boyer. Vayiritzeu, Lashon of rot, to run. Why was he rushed? What was the big rush? So there's a phenomenal Sfarnu there. The Sfarnu says, that is the way that every Yeshua comes. Every Yeshua comes, when the time is right, it's rushed. He said, for example, Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim b'chipozoin, in a rush. And he says, so too, every Yeshua, and so too, la'osid lovoin. When the time comes to Mashiach, it'll be mirega lerega, in the most unexpected, sudden way. And this is the Chodesh. As we say, all of Chazal HaKadoshim say that Nisan was the first Geula. So Nisan will be the eventual Geula. So we're starting an extra special Tekufa, an extra special Tekufa of Adar and Nisan. It's all about Dogim, living supernaturally. And therefore we will step up our Koyach HaTefillah and Me'ez Hashem, Hu She'asa Nisim, La'Voiseinu, Vayomim Ha'heim, will do Nisim for us as well, and Mitz Hashem also, Bizman Hazer.
Rebbe, in the idea of Ahirva Avoker, does it make sense that right before, prior to Rosh Chodesh, a person would feel a certain sense of darkness so that there's a contrast?
It could be. An Erev Rosh Chodesh is like a Yom Kippur. We have Yom Kippur cotton today. It's a serious time. Erev anything, by the way, is a Zman of Tshuva. Erev Shabbos, some place can bring down, is a Zman of Tshuva. Erev Rosh Chodesh, some have the minig to daven Yom Kippur cotton. It's an Erev, it's a new start. You want to start afresh. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, you have the whole Elul to prepare to be Chayz B'Tshuva, and then we're starting afresh. The new moon comes out. Everything that's happened till now, as it were, counts for nothing. A new start. And this is our Maila that we follow the moon, but extra pertinent in the Chodesh of Ador, Dogim, supernatural. We can all be Zeicha to Yeshua's. Everybody who needs them, which is all of us, we all need them, should be Zeicha to them, Be'ez Hashem, B'korev, Mamish. Okay, let's begin our Gemara on Daf Yud Omud Beis. We're trying to understand our Mishnah. The Mishnah, for some reason, spoke about Ibur B'Shloisha. Ibur L'Choira means, at first glance, making the Chodesh into a Mole, into a 30-day Chodesh, as opposed to a chosa. Of course, tomorrow, by the way, is Lamed Chodesh Shvat, which means that Shvat is Mole. Shvat is Mole. So tomorrow, technically speaking, is actually not Ador, even though we call it Rosh Chodesh Ador. It's a bit of a shaila. Misha nichnas Ador marbim besimcha, when does that begin? Does that begin tonight or tomorrow night? Technically, Ador is not tonight. It's only tomorrow night. But in our home, we like to be machmir, so we start trying to be besimcha tonight already. Okay, so we're trying to work out, why does Ibur need shloisha? And in particular, why is there no mention of Kiddush HaChodesh in the Mishnah? And this was especially difficult because if Edim don't turn up on day 30, so come day 31, it's automatically Rosh Chodesh. So in fact, the last thing that needs to be adjudicated on is Ibur HaChodesh. So we saw various Tirutzim. Abaye says you have to edit the Mishnah. Instead of saying Ibur, insert the word Kiddush. Rava didn't like that. And Rava says Ibur doesn't mean making it Ibur, rather it means having Rosh Chodesh on the Yoim HaIbur, which is on day 30. Then we saw yesterday the exact opposite, that actually you only need three to adjudicate it if it is Shaloi Bizmano, which is day 31, because it needs a Chizuk. So we're up to the Gemara. This is now the final answer. Rav Ashi Omar, the first word on the line is Bizmanoi. Rav Ashi Omar, Lo'oilom Chishuv Ketoni. Chishuv, quote unquote. Remember, the Sugya began by saying, why is there no mention of the Mishnah in the Mishnah of Chishuv? What does Chishuv mean? Chishuv means you've got to calculate if and when you can have a leap month, as it were. If you remember, we said last time that there always has to be a certain amount, not too few and not too many leap months a year. So that needs a cheshbon, chishuv from the word cheshbon. And for some reason, that's not mentioned in the Mishnah at all. The only thing that's mentioned in the Mishnah is Ibur. Says Rav Ashi, don't worry, it's all the same thing. Rav Ashi Omar Lo'oilom, really, Chishuv, quote unquote, Katoni. You're right, it does say Chishuv. Where does it say that? It definitely doesn't appear, that word does not appear in the Mishnah. Umay, so what does it mean when it says Ibur, quote unquote? At the end of the day, it doesn't say the word Chishuv in the Mishnah, it says Ibur. So what does it mean, Ibur? The answer is precisely the Chishuv. Chishuv de Ibur. What does it mean, Chishuv de Ibur? Not the announcement to make a Chodesh Mu'ubar, but rather the calculation deciding on whether or not we should have this Ibur in the first place. Why does it use the word Ibur? Why doesn't it just say the word Chishuv? Says the Gemara, Va'aydi, and since the Kaboi Lemisni, because we want to state in the Mishnah later on, quote unquote, Ibur Shana. What's Ibur Shana? Making the month into a leap year, and there we have to use the word Ibur. That's why Tananami, that's why we use the word also Ibur Chodesh. So why have we used the word Ibur? As we know, we have this principle in many places for purposes of symmetry. If we go with Ibur Shana, so we call it Ibur Chodesh. But even though we actually don't mean Ibur Chodesh, we don't mean the declaration that this month is a leap month, but rather we mean the calculation therein on whether to do so in the first place. Now, if that's the case, there is still something missing from our Mishnah. What's missing from our Mishnah? There is still no reference, no mention in our Mishnah to Kiddush. It says Ibur, and now we're saying it means Chishuv, but Kiddush HaChodesh is not mentioned. Isn't there a principle? Isn't there a principle that Beis Din have to sanctify the new moon? We're all used to the notion of Kiddush HaChodesh. Why is that not mentioned in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Chishuv Chodesh in quote.
Yes.
Chishuv of the month is being referred to, but Kiddush Chodesh loy. Why is there no mention in the Mishnah of Kiddush, of sanctifying the new moon? Says the Gemara, here comes a terrific Chiddush, Mani. Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer holds that actually there is no principle of Kiddush HaChodesh. Everything that we know about sanctifying the new moon is not the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Bein Bizmano, he says the Gemara, Bein Shaloi Bizmano, Ein Mekadshin Oisei. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, the weather it is on time or it is not on time, we're not Mekadosh the new month. Shenemar, V'kidashtem Eshnas HaChamishim. What is that referring to? Sanctifying the 50th year, obviously. What's that referring to Yovel? You have to sanctify the 50th year. That's where the Torah talks about sanctification. Shono, v'kidashtem es shnas hachamish. Shonim atom kadesh. It is years that you sanctify. However, v'i atom kadesh chodoshim. But you do not sanctify months, you only sanctify years. Which particular year? The 50th. The tremendous chiddush. So if you want to know why is there no mention in the Mishnah of Kiddush HaChodesh, because our Mishnah is apparently authored by Rabbi Elazar, and according to Rabbi Elazar, there is no principle of Kiddush HaChodesh. There's no formal declaration in the presence of three Dayanim. Not everybody agrees to this, obviously. But Rabbi Elazar's opinion is no formal declaration in the presence of three Dayanim to sanctify the month. Okay, now all of this was the opinion of Rav Meir. However, if you remember, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said something else completely, a rather interesting looking halacha, that you start with three, then move on to five, and then you end off with seven. So we need to try and understand that. What's this inyan of three, five, and seven? So have a look. It's easy Gemara. We're going to try and reach Bez Hashem, the bottom of the Amud. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer b'shloisha Tanya. The Brisa says, Ketzad, how does this work? How do we begin at three? At what stage do we bring more? When do you bring the extra ones? Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel b'shloisha maschilin. We begin with three. So three, we'll sit down and make a calculation. Are we making this into a mu'ubar or not? Ubachamisha noisin v'noisnim. Five, we'll discuss it backwards and forwards. V'goimrin, but it will end b'shiva. How does that work? Echad oimer leishev. You've got three dayonim. And one of them says, leishev. What does leishev mean? To sit. One of them says, I think, yes, we do need to sit. There is something that we need to discuss, whether or not to make this an ibul. I maintain that there is a discussion over here. However, v'shnayim oimrim sheloy leishev. But two, however, say, no, there's nothing to sit about. As far as we're concerned, there's no discussion over it. So we've got two verses. One, Botel Yochid b'mi'utei. So the Yochid Botel, he's totally outvoted. And even though he thinks that, yes, you've got to discuss whether to make an Ibur, but if two say that we don't have to discuss it, then he's outvoted. Botel Yochid b'mi'utei. Okay. What happens in the reverse scenario? Shnayim oimrim leishev. Two of them say that we do need to discuss this. We need to sit. It's called always a moishav bezdin. Bezdin, by the way, it's halacha. The dayanim have to sit down. Shnayim oimrim leishev. When is this nageh to all of us, by the way? As we all remember, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, when we do Hataras Nadorim, the person who declares his Nadorim stands, but the people who are going to be matted in Dorim have to sit down. Leishev. Now this is the reverse scenario. Two of them say, yes, Leishev, I think there is a discussion over here. We don't know what the conclusion will be, but there definitely is a discussion. And one of them says, no, I don't think there's any discussion whatsoever. It's a done deal. It's obvious that there is no Ibur this month. So then, obviously, the one will have to be outvoted and the Bezdin continue. Moisifim aleihem oid shnayim. So because the two win the day, so there will be a Moishav Bezdin. So the first three were to make a decision on bichlal, whether this is going to be discussed. If two out of three says it's no discussion, well, then it's no discussion. If two out of three says is a discussion, then it is a discussion. Between how many? Between five. Then you bring the extra two. Moisifin aleihem oid shnayim. So now you actually start discussing it. Remember, the first three didn't discuss anything. All they discussed was whether you need a discussion. But they didn't actually start weighing up the pros and cons. You moisif another two, v'noisin, v'noisnin, bedavar. And they will now weigh it up backwards and forwards. Shnayim oimrim tzricho. If two out of the five say that we have to make it an ibur, but v'shloisha oimrim einot tzricho, that's their conclusion. So obviously the three win the day, three out of five. Botlu shnayim b'mi'utam. So then the two will be bottled by virtue of the fact that they're the minority. And that's the end of the case. But if shloisha oimrim tzricho, but if out of the five dayonim, three of them actually say that, yes, I think, we think that you've got to make it an ibur. V'shnayim oimrim eino tzricho. So once again, then you move it forward to the next round. So the two are outvoted. The three say that you've got to make it an ibur. What do you do? Moisifim aleihem oid shnayim. You've got to add an extra two. And this is what we said before. You've got to get to seven. You cannot make an ibur, according to Rabbi Shmuel, with less than seven. She'ein haminyan pochis mishiva. The number at the end of the day cannot be less than seven. You don't need to begin with seven. So we've seen clearly now the three stages. It's a rather bizarre halacha. The three get together to decide whether bichlal is what to discuss. If the majority say there's what to discuss, you bring another two, you're now up to five. If the majority of the five say we need to make it an ibur, then you bring another two, you get to seven. And that's what it means, goyimrin b'shiva.
The Gemara says that it says pachot b'shiva. So can't we say that technically the whole process can continue beyond seven?
Good point. I don't know why it says einu pachos shiva. Why didn't it just say you have to have seven? Yeah, I'm not sure. Good point. Have a look at Rashi. Echod oimar leishiv. Says Rashi, echod min hashloisha, one of the three oimer tzorich leishiv ulaayin. We have to sit and be ma'ayin im tzricho la'aber ashono zu. Whether we need to make this into an ibur shono. Why would you need to make an ibur shono, by the way? V'pnei ha'oviv, oy hatkufois, oy peiros ha'ilonois. There are various reasons. Rashi says, we'll see it later on in the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph on the base. There are various reasons and calculations based on which we have to make a decision. Does this year need to be an Ibur Shana? We're not discussing, by the way, an Ibur Chodesh, we're talking about Ibur Shana. So what are those reasons? We'll see them. It's Hashem to do with the Ovid. We all know Pesach always has to fall out in the spring. So if we're misaligned, we have to widen the year so that Pesach will be on time, etc., etc. So then, however, says Rashi, V'shnayim oimrim einoi tzarech lohayshev bezdin al-kach. Two out of the three said, no, we don't think you need to discuss this in Beis Din. Why not? She'ein kan sofik. As far as we're concerned, there's no sofik. Devadei ein atzricha la'aber. It's an absolute dead, sir. We don't need to ma'aber. Well, then you never even get to the five. So, botel yochid b'mi'utai, says Rashi, v'lo yeshvu ha'chamisha. So the five will not be convened, oid La'ayin b'dovah, because there's no need. Because the two out of three had a majority decision that there is no sofik whatsoever, that there's no reason to call the five. However, says Rashi, if it's shnayim oimrim leishev ve'echod oimrim shalai leishev, well, then you do move on. Hoilchen achar hashnayim, then you would follow the two, the yoishvin, and they would have to sit lissa v'lita to discuss im tzricha la'aber im lav. The actual discussion, not the decision whether or not to have a discussion, but the actual discussion on whether you should make this an ibur shana needs five. Lefichoch moisifin oid shnayim. Says Rashi straight away, the question that everybody is obviously thinking to themselves, well, come on, mefarish, what is this whole business of three and five and seven? Or the Kamon Mefarish Shloisha, the Chamisha, Shiva k'neged mi. What does this correspond to? What is it necessary? We've never seen such a halacha. We've always seen that there's a particular number needed and they have to decide. Shnayim oimrim tzricha, out of the five, says Rashi. La'abir. But v'shloisha oimrim ein tzricha. If three out of the five say our final decision is that you don't need to make it an ibur, then botlu shnayim, b'miyuta. So the two will be bottle, va'oimdin, va'holchim lohem. So everybody gets up, and the whole bezdin is disbanded. But, shnayim oimrim eino tzricha, v'shloisha oimrim tzricha, then holchim acharoiv. Well, then you would follow the majority, that's three out of five, u'moisifin oid shnayim. You then add another two, lahashlomas haminyan, to get to the complete number of seven, u'ma'abrin, and you then make it a shona.
If you have Shnayim Omrim, that's you don't even need to discuss this. Wouldn't there be a little bit Yagia? Can you trust them that they're going to be objective? They didn't want to talk about this to begin with. Now you're forcing them to discuss it. And are they going to really be objective? Are they going to be completely objective whether this is actually Rosh Chodesh? Huh?
I don't begin to understand the question. Two Dayanim objectively said that we don't think there's a Shayla. What Nagias are there? We've based on.
But now you're telling them they were outweighed. Now they have to do something they don't want to do.
Why? What do you don't want to do? Because they've decided it's no Shayla, like every Bezdin in the world. You go with the majority. Two say, as far as.
No, but now you're bringing them in to decide whether it's Rosh Chodesh or not.
No, answer the Rosh Chodesh. Shana Mu'ubaris. Is there going to be an Ador Sheni this year or not? Two say, there's absolutely no Shayla whatsoever. So b'chola teira kula, we always go with the majority. Majority says it's not a shayla, so it's not a shayla. By the way, it's well known, one of the goyim famously asked, one of the chachmei Yisrael, if in your teira it says you follow the majority, well then the majority of people in the world are non-Jewish. So why don't the Jews follow the non-Jews? That's what it says in your teira. So what was the answer? The answer is we only follow the majority where there's a doubt. Where there's a suffix, we follow the majority. Where there's no suffix, there's nothing to follow the majority about. Okay. Says the Gemara. Now, this is a rather obscure Gemara. Hani, Shloisha, Chamisha, Veshiva, Keneged Mi. Where do these numbers come from? 3, 5, and 7. Now, we'll see. There's a very interesting Gemara because the Gemara doesn't actually explain why you need it and what's the source. Rather, what do these numbers correspond to? Pligibo Rav Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni v'chad de'imei. Rav Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni and one other Amora with him. Who is that? Umanu Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Oh, v'omru lo Rav Shimon ben Pazi v'chad de'imei. Umanu Rav Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni. There is a machlekes. Chad Omar, Keneged Birkas Koyanim. What's Birkas Koyanim? As we know, there are three psukim in Birkas Koyanim. The first has three words, second pasuk has five words, and the third has seven. 3, 5, and 7. So if you want to know where do the numbers 3, 5, and 7 come from, or at least what are they Keneged, they correspond to Birkas Koyanim. Now, do Art Scroll explain? I'm very curious. What on earth has Birkas Koyanim got to do with Ibur Shana?
Several commentators question why there should be any connection between the priestly blessings and the number of judges on a court. Ein Yaakov explains that a court decision and priestly blessing share one common characteristic. Hashem ratifies both. See also the Mashar and the Yad Ramah, who advance other reasons for why the number of judges must correspond to the number of words in the Kedusha Skarim.
Right. In other words, this is a very rare halacha. I also saw this in one of the Sforim, that what there is a tremendous common denominator between Birkas Koyanim and Kiddush HaChodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not decide when the moon makes the new month or whether the year should be an Ibur Shana. We decide and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctions it. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. It's for you to decide. So much so The Chazal say that even in the event that the Beis Din make a mistake, it doesn't matter, it still takes effect. Where else do we find this principle with Birkas Kohanim? What does the Torah say? That they should bless, the Kohanim should bless the Jews, and then, Va'ani Avorachim. And then, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will sanction that bracha. So, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not give us a bracha without the Kohanim? So, we don't know, but for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you must give that bracha, and then I will ratify it, I will sanction it. Says Rashi on the second wide line, Keneged Birkas Kohanim, B'posuk Rishoyin Gimel Tevois. In the first posuk, there are three words, Vasheni, Hey, and in the second posuk, there are five words, Vashlishi, Zayin Tevois. So 3, 5, and 7.
What's interesting, Rebbe, is that in Chutz La'aretz, depending on what the Iber Shana is, the Iber, right, it'll affect when Birkas Kohanim will be on the Chagin.
Correct. Correct. Says the Gemara in conclusion, there is another source of the numbers 3, 5, and 7. V'chad omar keneged shloisha keneged shomrei hasaf. What shomrei hasaf? Rashi brings psukim that the king used to have 3 guards outside the palace. Chamisha meiroye pnei hamelech and shiva. Roye Pnei HaMelech. How do they translate in Art Scroll the difference between Mei Roye Pnei HaMelech and Roye Pnei HaMelech?
The five corresponding to five of the king's ministers that saw the king's face regularly.
And seven?
And Shiva and the seven correspond to the 7 ministers of the king who saw the king's face.
So we'll see if we get time. We have time to it. This is Mamashin Yonah de Yoma. Rashi talks about
Achashverosh. It says 7 who proclaim a leap year, doesn't it, Rabbi Yosef?
No. 7 will proclaim a leap year, which corresponds to the 7 ministers. Says the Gemara, Toni, Rabbi Yosef, Hani, Shloisha, V'chamisha, V'shiva. So Rabbi Yosef seems to say the exact same, that this 3, 5, and 7, Shloisha keneged Shomrei Hasaf, the 3 correspond to the guards. Chamisha meiroye pnei hamelech, shiva roye pnei hamelech. So now, isn't that the same as what we just said before? Omele Abayel of Yosef, ad hoidna, my time loy porish lon mar hochi. Until now, why did you never explain this to us? I never knew that it needed to be explained. Did you ask me, Milsa, did you ever ask me this question and I didn't explain it? Apparently, he maintains it's very obvious. Look at the bottom, Rashi. Shloisha keneged shomrei hasaf kloima. Ashkachna, we find the malchusa da ara. The malchus, the kingdom here in Olam Hazeh, Shloisha mamunin, v'chamisha mamunin, v'shiva mamunin. Sometimes there are 3 appointees, 5 appointees, or 7. Gimel keneged shomrei hasaf b'tzidkiyahu. We find Tzidkiyahu had 3 guards, gabagolos nevuzradon. V'hosam nami mishkachas chamisha meiroye pnei hamelech. You find 5 as well. Uba achashveirosh, you find 7. Sorry, porasu modai. What on earth has that got to do with making a leap here? The Ibur Shona mitachsise malchus shomayim. Literally translated, it's the strategy of the kingdom in heaven, leyashev seder hashonim al mechonon, in order to organize the years that everything should work out. So in which case, therefore, so what's Rashi saying? That the Malchus, the Ara, is Keneged, the Malchus, the Shomayim. And if the Malchus, the Ara, you see that there is an union of 3 and 5 and 7, Shomrei Hasaf, Meiroye Pnei HaMelech, and Roye Pnei HaMelech. So too, Ibur Shana, which is also a manifestation of the Malchus Shomayim, it has to parallel this. Now I'm curious, Rabbi Yosef, do they add any comment over here? Why is Ibur Shana an Indian of Malchus Shomayim?
It's interesting that Achashverosh is connected to Adar Sheni. There's only one month that we always go Ibur. Ibur is always Adar, which is the month of Achashverosh.
Correct. Rabbi Yosef, we're running out of time. Did they say any comment? Why is
a leap year is declared in order to postpone the festivals to the proper season. Right. Since the heavenly kingdom arranges the seasons, it's appropriate that the courts proclaiming a leap year somehow reflect the majesty of the heavenly royalty. And earthly royalty is nothing but a reflection of the heavenly royalty. That's the answer.
Very, very interesting.
There's also Josephus apparently has...
Yeah, has a pshat. Okay, it's a little bit difficult to understand, but okay, we'll hold it over here. Miss Hashem, we'll move on tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach.
Shakoach. Have a good day.